City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
I'm just wondering in this age of equality whether or not we need to change the start of Bloke Talk, because it mentions me, but obviously because there's three of us here and not just me, then maybe we should have something that says with Laura and Topster. I mean, that would only be fair and right, wouldn't it?
Well, you said last week it was your show.
Did I say that?
Yes.
You say that probably weekly, I would imagine.
When did I say that? Was that when I was not getting my way?
Yeah, you told me to be quiet because it was your show.
I did say that. Did I not apologise for that?
No.
Would it make you feel better if we said, it's Bloke Talk? We could have a bit of a fanfare and go, do you remember? You probably won't.
Are you
going
to get
really
me
young.
To play the fanfare on the horn?
Well, we'll talk about your horn in a second. There used to be this great TV show in the 80s called Game for a Laugh. Do you remember it? You're younger and you don't remember it. Go on YouTube and you'll find something with Game for a Laugh. And what they used to do is the voiceover is great. And they used to go, it's Game for a Laugh. And they used to feature, It used to feature a guy called Henry Kelly, who was a very genial Irishman. He's still on
the
radio.
Off Going for Gold.
That's the fella. Yeah, cult TV. You were a student when Going for Gold was on the telly, so I guess you would have been watching it.
No, I wasn't a student when I was a little kid when Going for Gold was on the telly.
All right, Going for Gold.
How old do you think she is?
Well, I don't know. I'm just feeling increasingly old as this show goes out week after week. Anyway, Henry Kelly, Going for Gold, legend, right?
Yeah.
Matthew Kelly, kind of TV presenter, actor. Sarah Kennedy is on the radio somewhere. And there was someone else coming. It was Jeremy Beadle, sadly no longer with us. Genius. And this programme was called Game for a Laugh.
Are you talking Matthew Kelly of Stars in Their Eyes fame?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's more up to date.
You understand? You identify with what? Out of the four?
I just know who Matthew Kelly is. I know who Jeremy Beadle is, obviously.
Yeah, legend. Anyway, so...
And there's lots of jokes about him as well, but we won't go there.
These four people, and the show used to start, he'd go, it's Game for a Laugh with Sarah Kennedy. And what they had to do was walk down the steps, or actually bound down the steps in between the audience. So if you can imagine it, and this is not very good radio, but imagine the kind of like the audience was on various tiers, like you get at the cinema or kind of, you know, at the theatre or whatever. And one of the presenters, so Sarah Kennedy, would be up here at the top and she'd have to kind of like leap down gracefully, you know, and actually get there in quite a nifty bit of time, but also smiling because the camera would be following her down. So it would be Sarah Kennedy, and she'd get on the stage and sit on the chair, and it would be like, with Matthew Kelly, sit on the chair, Henry Kelly.
Presumably they're all slightly lower down at the start, are they? Or do they all start at the same height?
The same height.
Oh, I see.
And then, Jeremy Beadle, right, all sit on the chair. And I'm just thinking, there's a point to this, stick with me, is that maybe we should have that as a start of Bloke Talk in the future.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of a quantity.
How does it work on radio?
It's Bloke Talk with Toby. And with Laura. And with Duncan.
Oh, I see. You don't mean we do the walking down the stairs.
Well, where would we walk to?
That's what I was wondering.
What are you stupid
There needs to be something in between the with Duncan, with Laura, with Toby, I think.
Well, what
maybe
would you
us, you know, doing. Laura could do like a monkey noise.
I could play a horn, and I can just growl. Or be grumpy. Should we try that?
Yeah, I think.
So, it's Bloke Talk with Laura. Monkey noise.
Or animal of choice.
Yeah.
I'm not doing animal noises on the radio. I've told you this already.
You've done it loads of times.
Not on the radio.
You did them the week you talked
about
it.
Yeah, I know, but that was a mistake.
No, just humour me for a second. All right, just make any animal noise. Don't have to be a monkey. With Laura.
Meow.
With Toby. And with Duncan. See, it could work, couldn't it? Should we do that?
I don't mind.
Because I'm not here next week.
Laura's not prepared to do it.
So I'm not here next week. And so when I come back, it's an opportunity to start afresh. I know you don't like me. And I know you prefer it when your favourite man is hosting this show. So Bloke Talk next week will be with Dean Sullivan. That's a lie.
Oh, that's
actually,
good.
It's Will Batchelor. So
I'd like to have Dean in it.
It would be a very different Bloke Talk, would it not, with Dean Sullivan in charge.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought maybe we should have a bit of a quality to the show. And I can make up for chucking my toys out of the pram for saying it was my show last week.
Doesn't bother me that it says Duncan Barks. Does it bother you?
It doesn't bother me, but I have thought for some time it's rather exclusive to have you in there, seeing as we've now been, I think, is this week about 9 or 10 since
more than that. I think it's 12.
Started. Yeah, yeah. So I think you know, we've shown we're committed in the same way as Duncan.
No one's doubting your commitment.
So I think it's fair that we are included in the jingle.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to sort it out, because I want that. If we're going to do it, I want that Game for a Laugh style intro, that opening.
Well, we've got the perfect man here who makes our jingles.
Yeah,
I want
a really excessive OTT voiceover.
Yeah.
A really irritating one.
Yeah.
With Toby! I want it to be exactly like that. Don't want it to be cool. I don't want it to sound credible. I want it to be, ooh. And maybe we can have a whack oops in there as well.
We should have a competition to see if any of our listeners want to make them and see who can make the best one.
That's a great idea. Anyway, your horn caused a bit of a stir last week.
Did it?
Yeah, everyone's been talking about your horn. And the problem we have with your horn playing, well, not we don't have a problem with your horn playing, because your horn playing was very good indeed, particularly your rendition of Agadoo and the Scott Joplin classic, The Entertainer, all very good.
That was the one I'd practiced in
you
the
practiced
dance.
That.
The most difficult.
Mm. Well, the problem we have is that it's going to be quite hard to top last week's bloke talk, because now we don't have a horn in the studio this week, and we don't have any musical instruments whatsoever.
No, it's other than our voices.
Yeah.
Laura's voice is very good, actually.
Yeah, you're
She's
good because
she's got a very
karaoke.
Good singing voice.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not singing though.
You're not really up for much this week, are you?
You won't want to give us a little ditty.
Well, I haven't asked either of you two to
sing,
make animal noises.
You won't be
noises,
a monkey. So. You're not much fun.
That's because we haven't admitted to making animal noises in our private lives with our partners.
Yeah, but this is not my private life.
That's a good point. Well made. So anyway, we have to top the horn, and I don't know if we can top it. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about real woman.
Okay.
Do you consider yourself to be a real woman?
Of course.
Of course. Toby, do you have a kind of a thought, a definition as to what a real woman should be?
You've just kind of thrown that one at me.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's because I did something on my weekday show, and I want to play it because it's relevant. I spoke to Janet Ellis. Do you know who she is? Are you two? Right, who is she?
She used to present Blue Peter.
Fantastic.
She's the mum of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Brilliant.
Now, I didn't know that, but I did know who she was. Yeah.
Anyway, she's done some stuff with the WI, the Women's Institute. Okay. And No. You see, that's exactly the reaction that is not necessary for the WI. Because they've got like guides that you can download everything from how to cook the perfect roast dinner. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
You see, you're a real woman.
Yeah,
but also how to satisfy your man in the bedroom. Didn't expect that from the WI. So we'll talk to Janet Ellis. Well, I'll talk to her, and you can hear all about it. Because basically, the top line headline is that over the age of 40, women kind of know how to do things like cook a roast. So if you're a woman in your 20s, a lot of them have got no idea.
Mm.
No idea.
My mum's still learning, and she's well past 40, I'm afraid.
You see, strikes me as bizarre, because I thought your mum would kind of be a...
My mum is a very, very bad chef, unfortunately.
Cook,
chef.
Well, why?
She's quite has a habit for burning things.
And you do realise...
undercooking things. And she also doesn't really seem to like flavour. She has a bit of an issue with anything that you can actually taste. A lot of the time you get a nice meal, looks okay.
Colourful.
Just about maybe. Colourful is a good way of putting it. It's dumped elegantly on the plate.
Yeah.
And you sit down to eat it, and often it's past the salt. Shall we say, or why wasn't it cooked in the sauce?
Bland.
Aren't you being a bit harsh about your mum?
Because she'll probably cry when she hears this.
You showed me a picture of your mum a couple of weeks ago on her, was it her Facebook account?
Yes, she's on Facebook.
Where she's put her date of birth as like 1856 or something.
Oh, no, she's quite fun, my mum. Yeah. I'm not saying she's not a lovely lady.
Chances are, she's anything like my mum or any of our parents. Chances are she takes an interest in her son or daughter's work, so she might tune into this.
She does tune in.
Or download it or whatever.
She really does.
And now she's going to come across this, you slagging off her cooking.
But she does know that I slag off her cooking. I do it in entirely to her face as well. I'm not being two-faced about this in any way. She, I generally will sit down to eat one of her meals and look at her and go, what's this supposed to be? It tastes the same as every meal we've had last week. Tasteless.
Well, what's
that's
so
a horrible
bad?
Thing.
She's, I'm feeling quite
the
upset
is,
on your mum's
I'll tell you the thing is, she doesn't actually enjoy cooking.
Right.
And it tastes like she doesn't enjoy it.
So
it tastes
what
like she's just not bothered, and she's doing it out of necessity rather than.
Why don't you cook something then, if she's so bad at cooking?
Very rarely, it is very rare. I will admit to being quite lazy when it comes to that being at home. I will cook. I probably don't, maybe once a year when I'm at home, if that. But when I'm at home up here, I do cook for myself.
Pasta. That's not cooking,
is
it? I knew
you were going to say that.
That's the only thing you get.
That's just some dried food stuck in boiling water.
I do cook a lot of pasta. I love pasta.
Yeah.
I do cook a lot.
What else do you cook?
Yeah, what's in your range? What's your signature dish, Tobe?
I don't really have a signature dish.
Yeah, you do. Pasta bake.
I'm not really very good at...
Is that what he cooked you?
There's nothing...
Yeah. And what was it like?
It was all right.
Well, what kind of bake was it?
You really liked it, and you had seconds...
Yeah, no, it was nice, but it's not hard to cook a pasta bake.
No, I agree it's not. I've never proclaimed it to be difficult at all.
So your mum, if she's knocking out the food, what's so bad about it then?
Give
me an example. Food, it's very hard to get wrong, so this is what I'm struggling with.
Like, I'll give you an example. I was at home last weekend because... Obviously, I cover Tranmere for the radio station.
The Mighty Whites,
And they were down in London. So while they were down in London, I thought, well, I'm just going to go home for the weekend while I'm at it.
Quite right.
So I went and I saw her, and she cooked. What was it she cooked us?
Pasta?
I think it was a chicken-y thing. And she made this sauce, a tomato-y sauce. And you know how most people would sort of marinate the chicken in the sauce and, you know, the flavours all combine and merge and you get something, you know, quite nice. You get on this plate bare chicken breast and then along comes this sauce which she sort of donks on top. And you can just taste this quite dry chicken with just a bit of tomato on top, and it just doesn't work. And you say to her, why didn't you cook it in? And she says, well... I was just cooking all the fat out, and I didn't want the fat to get into the sauce. And so
are you the only person who's critical of your mum's cooking?
No, it's fair to say my dad is similar.
Is it a sport?
My sister is also similar. The thing is that it's become a bit of a family joke now. You know, it's almost a surprise if he's not burnt most weeks.
Is so ungrateful.
It's not ungrateful.
It is.
Yeah. When it's nice,
over a hot
when it's nice, I tell her it's nice. Yeah. In fairness, I do. Yeah.
What was the last nice dish your mum cooked you then?
I tell you what she's very, very good at cooking is desserts. She's brilliant at desserts.
Right.
She made apple crumble from apples from our own garden, and it was lovely.
Good.
Really nice. She is good at desserts. I've got to give her credit there. So it's not that she's a bad cook. She's a bad cook of savoury
things. I had a thing during the week, and I don't know if it's because it's getting colder and the nights are drawing in. And of course, I think it's tonight that the clocks go back as well, because it's on Saturday, isn't it? Early hours of Sunday morning. Anyway, I've noticed one, the temperature's dropped, but two, I get these kind of cravings now for real comfort food at this time of the year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like a craving during the week, comfort food, and this is genuine, okay? Made me think about this is when you talked about a chickeny thing, and what it was just a breast of chicken, okay, roasted in the oven, really simply, all right, mashed potato, peas and gravy.
Yeah.
Now, you might argue a little bit bland, but you know what? This time of the year, that on your plate,
mashed potato is perfect,
isn't it?
Mashed potato is the biggest comfort food.
I think potato generally is good. I mean, I love potato and leek soup.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't knock that up quickly, can you?
No, you can't just knock it up.
But
if it's just from a tin, really nice and you know.
So is that your comfort? What's your comfort food? So I've just outlined mine. That would be my all-time favourite comfort food.
If we're talking, you mean winter warmers?
Yeah, well, just comfort, winter warmer kind of comfort food.
I actually like bangers and mash.
Yeah, yeah. Mashed potato features heavily, doesn't it?
I would say mash.
On its own?
Just mash. Maybe cheesy mash.
Mustard mash. You ever had that?
Yeah,
mustard
mash is
lovely. I do mean mustard mash. You need
can put anything
jar
in
of
mash.
Coleman's, but...
You can put garlic in it, onions, mustard, cheese.
There used to be this great. I don't know where
I'm
it's still.
I'm going to go home and have some.
It does. Yeah. When you talk about food, it does make you. We did it on the radio show during the week. We were talking about curry because last Sunday was the British Curry Awards. And 5 minutes about talking about curry, all of a sudden you're going, half past 11, I could quite kill him a grass.
We should get some chefs in to cook for us.
Yeah, we should. That's a good idea.
That's what Kim Hughes does.
She does. Mm. Yeah.
Full
details of Kim Show on the website, citytalk.fm. Anyway, I wanted to talk about food and I want to talk about cooking because this research that's come out shows that women in their 20s are kind of, they can't cook anymore. So where have all the real women gone? And that's a fair question to ask. Obviously, Laura's an exception because she can cook. But it's fair to say you would expect a woman to know how to do a roast, wouldn't you?
I
mean, in the sexist way,
like
but you kind of... Yeah, exactly. So what I'm going to do a little bit later on in this hour, we'll play out the Janet Ellis thing because it makes interesting listening. Mm. And also these results, I think. Do you know how to wire a plug?
No.
Do you know how to sew on the button?
Yes.
Yeah, you see, you'll define this. It's good. But a lot of women in their 20s have got no idea.
I know how to do a plug, but I don't know how to sew on a button.
Do you not?
No.
How can you not know how to sew on a button? It's so easy.
It is. I can do it. It might not look any good, but I can get the button to stay on the bit of fabric.
I could probably work that bit out, but it wouldn't. Yeah. No, it wouldn't look.
I bet you have problems threading the needle, though, don't you?
Yeah, I've got big chunky. I've got sausage fingers.
I could just imagine you.
I get quite frustrated. Grappling with a needle.
That's a bit like the noise you're going to make in the jingle.
I'm going to bring in some needles and thread next week. Just
these needles. What the hell are they playing at? Anyway, so...
Be careful, they're sharp, Laura. Sounds like he gets really frustrated.
Yeah. We'll stand back.
All right, so it's Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Laura's here. Toby's here as well. City Talk 105.9. We'll do the Janet Ellis thing a little bit later on. Also, we need to actually find out how your... was it kind of like a hen night, wasn't it?
Not kind of a hen night.
Well,
it was a hen night.
So we need to find out how that went. It's City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9. It is the weekend, and it's Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Laura's here as well, also Toby. And we're just kind of like talking about blokey kind of stuff. Just talking about stuff, really. And if you're listening to this at the weekend on the radio, City Talk 105.9, and I hope your weekend's going well. If you downloaded it, using that very clever thing that allows you to download things, thank you for downloading it. I want to do this real woman thing. Now, during the week, I talked to Janet Ellis, as you rightly pointed out. She's an ex Blue Peter TV presenter. She's also the mum of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Can I ask you something very, very quickly? Oh, I was just about to ask.
Yeah.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor,
yeah.
Do you think she's attractive?
I do.
See, I do, but I said this to my housemate the other day,
yeah.
And he mocked me, well, and his girlfriend mocked me, and said that she was, and I quote, rotten.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
That's what I mean, think.
Admittedly, kind of, she's got a unique face.
Yeah, I think she's
satellite dish, but
she's
wide is good.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, but you see, I like her. I like her a lot. I think she's very attractive. Mm. But she's married to some bloke from, some rock band. It'll come to me in a second. Not Travis. Someone else equally is dreary. Anyway, and she's had a couple of children, so there's no hope, Toes. It's not going to happen. Anyway, Janet Ellis has been doing some stuff with the WI. Don't yawn. WI is very sexy in 2008. And
no,
they did
it's
this
not.
Thing. No, it is.
No,
they did this
not.
Thing about where have all the real women gone, and I wanted to talk to Janet about it. And this is kind of how it went. So where have all the real women gone? We need to get to the bottom of this, because this is a problem, far as I'm concerned. So let's talk to someone who's got their hands on some quite interesting research. You would have seen her on the telly. You might have grown up with her as well. Well, not literally, but certainly watching her on the box. She is the TV presenter Janet Ellis, who joins me. Good morning.
I thought you were going to say I'm going to talk to a real woman, but I was...
Well, are you not a real woman? Do you not want to be described as a real woman?
I'd love to be described as a real woman, of course.
Are you a real woman, though?
Well,
that's
I think
the question.
So.
I think you are, too.
Well,
and
I
want to go through some of this research that's come out. Because I've got to be honest with you, I'm depressed about this, Janet, and I think I've got every right to be depressed, because we know that a woman of, and I'm choosing my words carefully, and I certainly don't want to offend you or anyone else listening to this, but a woman of a certain age, and
I would say the over 40s plus.
You're happy with that, are you?
Oh, definitely,
right.
Yeah.
Over 40s, you know where you are of a woman over the age of 40, they can do certain things, and you know, you can cook a roast, you can sew on a button, and that's all great stuff. Men should be able to do that as well, far as I'm concerned, but you know that a woman over the age of 40 knows how to do things. But this research that's come out, a woman over the age of 40, yes, they can cook a Sunday roast, but women in their early 20s, only half of them who are asked know how to do stuff like this. This is depressing.
It's controversial, isn't it, really? Because I think that most of us, when we're in our early 20s, although you might think, I don't know how to cook a Sunday roast, neither do you want to. You know, you're not getting out of bed in time for it anyway, and you can always go home to your mum.
True.
But I think, actually, I'm going to be slightly sort of naughty about these statistics, because I have a little theory that some of the older girls who were asked actually said they knew how to do things they didn't. Because it's very hard to admit, once you get to a certain age, that you don't know stuff that you feel you should. All those skills have jumped a generation, rather, haven't they? I mean, I certainly learned from my mum without knowing I was learning about sewing on buttons and making a roast dinner and all that.
Let's be honest, how hard is it to cook a roast? I mean, even I can do this. And I'm a hairy ass bloke. You get the meat, you stick it in the oven, you boil some potatoes, you wait until they're a little bit soft, you chuck them in the oven as well, you put the sprouts on the boil, pray, and then about 2 hours later, you've got a roast.
Okay, but how did you learn that?
Well, I learned it from my mum.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So, the WI, which people might think has a slightly sort of fusty...
Not at all. The WI's becomes quite sexy, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
We had some ladies in at this radio station, the City Talk 105.9, because I think they were doing a conference somewhere in Liverpool, certainly in the northwest. They came in, and they came in to prove that the WI has kind of, like, it has changed. It has changed. It's not all jam-making and cakes. There is a sexy image to the WI.
Well, not only has it hasn't changed at all. That's the thing. People have just realised that they were doing all this fab stuff all the time, and they've just come round to the idea that that's where you should go for the advice. Because the WI have always been amazingly good at campaigning.
Yeah.
They've always been at the forefront of women's sexual health. They've always been at the forefront of teaching women the skills they think women need to survive in the world. And, of course, they're perfectly happy if they pass that on to their sons as well. But I think the WI aren't changing. It's people's attitude to homemaking that's changed.
Yeah, yeah.
It became a little unfashionable, didn't it, a while ago, to actually enjoy or say that you enjoyed cooking, cleaning, looking after a family. And because of that, people who really liked it felt that they had to stay in the background. And you wouldn't necessarily go, found a great way to clean the windows, because people would look at you kind of funny. Now they'd say, great, that I can save on the window cleaner, bring it on.
I mean, we talked about the roast. Almost 100% of the older age group who are asked say they know how to sew on a button, while a third of those aged between 19 and 21 confess to being all fingers and thumbs. do you still believe there that your little theory that the older ladies asked were telling a bit of a fib, or do you
generally... Probably not in that case, no, because I think that fashionably, instead of sewing on a button, you just replaced your jacket. You know, it was all cheap and cheerful, and you didn't have to really look after your clothes. So that really went out of fashion, I think. Those sort of basic domestic and needlecraft skills went out of fashion completely.
Yeah.
But of course, they are coming back in now. They're coming back in now because I think, as I say, people are rediscovering the pleasure of wearing or giving away something that you've made. And also because we've all got to look to the pennies, haven't we? And we've all got to make sure that you know, everything serves its time, and you can't afford to chuck it out if it's just got a button missing. But you're right. I think those sort of things, you know, I certainly learnt without knowing I was being taught anything because I just watched my mother do it and then did it myself. And that's what these guides do, actually, the WI guides. You know, they're kind of like advice from a chum rather than a lesson.
Yeah. I mean, can I ask you, because obviously, you know, you've got a daughter who we all know and love, and, you know, she's, you know, Sophie, who we know is, you know, has had a great career in the pop charts and stuff. Did you pass your knowledge on to her when you were bringing her up?
Yes, I did. But I've always, you know, I've always got pleasure from that sort of thing as well. Yeah. And I've had, obviously, large chunks of time when I was at home, too.
So we go round to Sophie's place. We're going to get a nice bit of roast beef.
You're
going to
get a fantastic meal. She's a really good cook. She's really good. And also her husband's very good. But yeah, but like I say, I've always enjoyed that, and I think that's lucky. So it wasn't a problem to me to pass that on because they saw it happening all the time. But I'd confess I'm, you know, as bad as the next girl when it comes to wiring a plug.
Yeah, but why should you know how to wire a plug? I mean, I was talking about this last week on this radio show, and you've got to be really careful because people might say, oh, it's a sexist attitude to have or whatever. But I believe, either rightly or wrongly, and you can tell me if I got this right or wrong, that there are certain things that men actually, they're men's duties. And I think it's a man's duty to wire a plug, as it is the man's duty to take the rubbish out.
Well, I hate words like duty.
Duty.
You know, I don't think you should do anything out of duty, really. You know, if you're living with someone who knows how to wire a plug and you're the one who happens to know how to run up curtains, then fair enough. You know, don't bother to swap duties because you'll only be frustrated at watching somebody else's efforts. But I don't think you need to say, you know, because you're intrigued about how things work, you shouldn't learn if you're a girl. Obviously, that's a very different subject.
I wouldn't say that. all right. So, we need to nail this down. So, yes, certainly there's a knowledge gap, if you like, with maybe a younger generation of females who either, one, aren't interested. Because let's be honest, if you're in your early 20s, you know, why should you be interested in learning how to cook a roast or whatever?
Not yet. Yeah.
But you might have the knowledge gap. Mm. So are we putting this down to the fact that it's not been fashionable to actually go and get access to this kind of expertise and skills and knowledge? Is that what we're saying?
Partly that. Yeah. Partly that the fun went out of it, really, when people did start deciding that those weren't things that women should be spending their time doing. And also because we tend to live further away from our families now, so that, you know, you can't pop next door and ask your mum usually because she's 300 miles away.
True.
And also because I think that we're not very good at getting advice from people. Now, I have to say, that doesn't apply to women when they're all together. And I bet if you go to any social gathering where women are involved, they'll be telling each other things. And of course, the WI, who get more members every year, are in the business of passing all that on.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so, I mean, if there's, you know, I'm quite lucky because the audience who listen listens to this particular show on City Talk 105.9. You know, it's quite diverse, and we have a lot of young ladies listening, particularly across the three universities here in Liverpool.
Sure.
So if someone's listening to this, and, you know, I know there's a good group who come from Edge Hill University who listen to this show, and they contact us regularly, and they're female. If they're listening to this and think, actually, I don't know how to sew on a button, or I don't know how to cook a roast chicken dinner, what can they do?
Well, fabulously enough, they can go online. The WI teamed up with Sky, and these are very much educational websites that Sky put out. So they're on www.sky.com/WICon. And I can't tell you how refreshing it was. I recently took part for Sky and WI.
Well, I was going to ask you about this. You've been the judge, haven't you?
I was. To find the WICon, you know, the defining woman of the WI.
The WICon.
Yeah, that was a hard task. Yeah. That was a hard task because, you know, they're as diverse as women are. So we ended up with two winners in the end. We couldn't choose between them. One's 35, one's 67.
And these are the ultimate WI members, are they?
Yeah, they are. Well, they're representative in every good way of people who are enthusiastic.
Okay.
Love life, enjoy the company of other girls, and have a great time.
So was that the criteria, or was there kind of like practical criteria as well?
Oh, practical too. Yeah, we wanted their tips. Yeah, and they were unabashed in sharing them.
So you kind of worked out who these people were by one. Yeah, they were good girls, if you like, but also they could sew on the button and do the roast beef.
Absolutely,
fantastic.
Yes.
You haven't got their numbers anywhere, have you?
Whether they live near you.
I'm happily married, and I'm more than happy to say that my wife does the best roast in town, so I'm very, very happy.
You're a lucky man.
So people can go online and they can get these guides and stuff. But obviously, as part of this research that Sky and WI did, there is a kind of a little bit of reversal, because whilst out of this, maybe the younger generation of females in their 20s or whatever don't come out looking too good when it comes to practical skills, like the sewing and the cooking and stuff like that. However, they're very knowledgeable when it comes to bedroom matters.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Elaborate for me.
Well, I've been working with sexual health guru Janice Langley, who presented the guide on sexual health matters, particularly aimed at the older woman, because after all, you know, sadly, statistically, older women are getting divorced, you know, and they are then finding themselves in a relationship situation that they can't have anticipated, that they certainly haven't kept up with. And they go to the WI for this advice. So it may come as a shock to people to find that the WI are doing this, but they've been doing it for years.
And what are they advising people on? Are they offering guides and advice as well, though, when it comes to kind of like intimate matter? You know, we dance around this, don't we? Here we are. It's a Tuesday morning, and I'm thinking, oh, can I talk about sex to Janet Ellis on the radio? What's the correct terminology? But basically, if let's say there's a woman listening to this, and you know she wasn't, you know, maybe wanted some help. I don't know. Maybe wants some advice when it comes to how to have a more successful love life.
Absolutely.
She can go and see the WI about it.
She can.
Yes. Why are we afraid of the word sex, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's the last bastion, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's the thing that we regard about ourselves as being most private and intimate. But actually, it's the thing that if you do get advice and help in, it can make all the difference in the world.
Do you know, I'm just enjoying the fact that the WI in the 21st century can sort out sewing, the perfect roast dinner, and actually everyone's happy in the bedroom. I've enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Duncan Barks, weekdays from 9 a.m. on City Talk 105.9.
This morning. I thought somewhere along the line that I kind of played around with that so that bit wouldn't go out. But there you are.
Well edited.
A little plug in there for your radio show.
Yes, I do a radio show during the week. Did you know that? But not next week because I'm not here. Some Irishman. That was Janet Ellis. Do you know what? I found it really hard because I grew up with Janet Ellis as a Blue Peter presenter. And I had a bit of a crush on Janet Ellis.
Oh, you have a crush on everyone.
And I found it quite a bit. It's like Janet. Hello.
You like people called Janet.
Did you blush when you were speaking to her?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can't imagine you blushing.
Thank God for the WI. Because if it wasn't for them, all of these young girls in their 20s, and you fall into that bracket, you know, wouldn't know how to do a roast and stuff or sew on a button.
Do people in their 20s join the WI?
I was going to say, is it thanks to the WI that you know how to cook a roast?
Yeah, how did you do it? Because I know how to cook a roast. I learned from my mum. How did you learn to cook?
My mum taught me everything I know about cooking. She's brilliant.
Is she?
What's your signature dish?
I haven't got a signature dish. I can cook anything.
Can you?
Literally anything. The only thing I don't cook much is fish.
Is that because you just don't like it?
Yeah, and I don't know how to. If I got given a fish and I actually had to gut and fillet it and all that kind of thing, that's one thing.
I know
how
to do that.
I don't know how to do that.
It's really simple.
I think that's quite a manly job.
You know, probably know how to like
skin a rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Do you not?
No, I have no idea. I can catch one for you, but I wouldn't know how to skin it.
How would you catch a rabbit?
What do you think you catch a rabbit?
Do you shoot it, you mean?
You could shoot them, wouldn't you? You don't have to shoot
catch
them.
Catch it in a net. We'll chase after it.
This is fascinating. It's a city versus country. So is that how you think people catch rabbits? They go running around the forest or the field going, I got a big net, I'm coming after you. Is that, how do you think people catch rabbits?
A trap.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's it. What? It goes on its leg.
No, you make a trap. You sticks. What you do is very...
Sticks!
Do you want to learn something?
No.
Do you want to learn? One day, when the credit crunch is biting and you've got no tins of beans left in your cupboard, right, you might be grateful. You go out to a little bit of countryside on the Wirral and I'll teach you how to catch a rabbit. What you do is you dig a little hole, okay, big enough for a rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what you do is you get some sticks, branches, all right, and you kind of like build almost with a big stone on top, and the stone's got to be big enough to cover the entrance to the hole, okay? And then you put some food in there, literally, like you could use a carrot. It's cliched, but you can use a carrot. It goes in there, and you set up your rigging in such a way that it knocks one of the sticks, and the stone comes down on top and traps the rabbit in the hole. Then
that
you take the stone
like
out, and then you stave its head
wrong.
In with a rock.
Do you?
Well, or you break its neck, yeah.
Oh,
well, how do you think animals end up on plates?
No, but I'd hate to do that.
It's very simple. I wouldn't have had a skin one, though. I wouldn't like to, actually. That must be grim.
Yeah, but how do you think that animals end up on plates? They have to be skinned.
Yeah, but I don't need much rabbit. Fish is really simple. I. Once it's dead, you just chop off its head, slit its belly open, take out the spine, job's gone. It's good. So what can you cook?
Everything.
Well, you can't get everything.
Well, no. You can do a roast,
can you?
Yeah, I can do a roast. Yeah. I can do any type of... Anything.
Any type of pasta?
Yeah, well, I was going to say any type of pasta, paella, risotto.
Can you make pie?
Pizzas, bread. I like cooking bread from scratch.
Do you?
Bread from scratch is amazing.
Yeah. Not a bread maker.
Will you make us some bread for next week?
Yeah, no, week after.
Week after.
Well,
I can do,
but I like it when it's just...
No, you'll do it next week because Will's going to be here next week, so you'll do it for Will.
And sometimes I'll make bread rolls and then I'll make some hummus.
Chickpeas.
Yeah.
All mashed up.
Not just chickpeas.
Bit of olive oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else? Garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of lemon juice.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Make some bread for not next week's bloke talk, the one after.
Sometimes I make rolls with faces on them or in the shape of letters or
like. What do you do with the letters?
You can make a word out of it, like, so I can make... Will,
bloke talk. Have bloke talk rolls in 2 weeks' time.
That's
actual
a
bloke
idea.
Talk rolls.
I'm going to make Wilson next week that say, Willie.
Oh, you're such a sucker.
Yeah, like the letters saying Willie, because that's what I call him. But yeah,
rather than any other reason.
Some Willie rolls. But I can make bloke talk
rolls.
Can
we have bloke talk rolls for two weeks' time?
That's a great idea. I feel in the last 10 minutes someone spiked my tea. I've been toking away on some kind of, as someone once described, a herbal jazz cigarette.
That was another one of your shows this week, wasn't it?
Rolls. I'm going to make Willy rolls. I mean, what the hell's going on?
I think rolls, bloke talk rolls, is a good idea. They should
the
become our signature
that
dish.
I like them when they're hot out of the oven and they won't be hot.
Well, we'll just have to accept that for this one occasion.
Homemade bread is much better than shop bought
bread. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And so cheap.
Yes.
Listen, I want to come back in a few moments' time because
we've got credit crunch beating tips on bloke talk Sunday, haven't we?
You've learned how to catch
bread
a rabbit.
Rolls, catch a rabbit.
I've told you how to skin, how to gut a fish, and now we know about rolls and making hummus.
Yeah,
we should rename this show. We should call it Home Talk.
Home Talk. Kitchen Talk.
Yeah. Going to come back in a few moments' time because we still need to find out about your hen night.
Oh, yeah.
And also, the other thing I want to talk about, Jonathan, the producer, who does sterling work on this show, he sent me something during the week. Would you dare to wear a bum bra? Don't laugh. It's this new item that's on the market.
Is this for women or men?
No, it's for ladies. Well, it's a bum bra. So I thought we'd have a look at the bum bra. What's the matter? It's great. What? There's nothing about it with a bum bra. Well, come back in a few moments' time. You're listening to Bloke Talk.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
Toby's still quite fascinated by the bum bra.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that it's you that's glaring at it great interest.
You were the one who laughed.
I did laugh.
I want to talk about the bum bra a little bit later on. Listen, how was the hen party?
It was brilliant.
Did you were organising, weren't you? Or were you partly responsible?
I cooked, actually.
You cooked? This was, who was getting married?
My sister.
Your sister, of course it was.
And in 9 days.
9 days. And instead of having a kind of like, a sordid trip to Blackpool, you decided to do a murder mystery evening. Mm. And you had your actors who were playing parts. Were they good actors?
Yeah, they were very good. There was an old, not old man, a man in his 50s a lady in her 30s that came along. The man in his 50s was the captain of the ship.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yes. And who else was on board the ship?
Well, you had me, who was Monica Lewinsky.
Did you find a cigar in the end?
Yeah, actually, my sister's fiancé had cigars in the house, so I nicked one of his.
Yeah, yeah.
He got it on holiday in Trinidad.
Well, it wasn't a Trinidad cigar.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Do you only like English ones?
No.
It's supposed to be Cuban.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was from Cuba. It's not far away from Trinidad.
Yeah, Trinidad, Cuba. Who's counting? Who else was... What other characters?
There was a Hillary Clinton.
Of course.
There was... My mum was Judy Finnegan. There was Davina McCall.
That's right.
My sister was Claudia Shifty.
Yeah,
Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a Mona Cameron, which is Rona Cameron.
Yeah.
There was two gay guys there actually playing Bubbles and... No, not Bubbles. What's the names? Absolutely what? Fabulous.
Oh,
Patsy and Eddie.
Yeah, yeah. Bubbles? Where did that come from?
Yeah, no, there is a Bubbles in it as well.
Oh, right.
And she was there as well. She's the dippy secretary.
That's right.
And
Who got killed? Who got murdered?
Simon, my sister's fiancé.
Right, and who was the culprit?
Mona Cameron.
Why was he at your...
He wasn't there. This is the whole point. The woman actor runs out of the room and goes, "Man overboard! Oh, my gosh." And she comes back in and she goes, "We found a piece of paper in his pocket. His name is Simon. Does anyone know a Simon?" And then my sister says, "Yes, that's my fiancé."
Yeah.
And then all these secrets come out about Simon, that he's a drug pusher and that we're all having affairs with him.
He's not,
are you sure? Are you sure your sister wants to marry this man?
No. It was all a big joke, but it was quite funny.
Did you all get drunk?
We all got quite drunk, so at the end we had to work out. They were like, "Now think back very carefully to all the clues." We were thinking, "I haven't got a clue at all. Who did this?"
Yeah, everyone sloshed.
And we all got, every single one of us got it wrong. No one guessed Mona Cameron.
Would you recommend a murder mystery?
Did Mona Cameron know that she was the murderer?
No.
Huh? What? How does that work?
Exactly. How does that work?
Well, it's just a game, isn't it?
I don't get it.
She should have the same chance of guessing as everyone else.
No, if I was going to be accused of murder, I'd want some fun, even if it was a game.
Yeah.
I don't want to at least pretend
to...
The idea is surely that you've got to be really good at not giving it away that you're the murderer.
Anyway, would you recommend a murder mystery evening as a good activity for a hen night?
Yes, definitely.
Why?
Because it's something a bit different.
Yeah.
I touched on this before, but I just think a night out with loads of leery girls wearing... Playboy bunny ears and, you know, heckling men.
Not what real women do, is it?
No. It's my idea of hell.
Yeah.
But this was actually quite genteel in comparison. We played some games afterwards.
How old did you play?
We all had to send in an embarrassing story about ourselves and an embarrassing story about my sister. She had to read them out and guess who they were. And if she got it wrong, she had to have a shot of tequila.
Oh, yeah. Was she hungover in the morning?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah. Were you?
I was fine, though, because I went for a swim first thing in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Nearly drowned.
Yeah. When's what? Why? Because you were hungover?
No, I was all right.
Was it because you were wearing a bottom bra and it weighed you down?
Yeah. No. See, I told you you're obsessed by the bum bra. So when's the big day?
9 days' time. Oh. And I still haven't bought my dress yet, which I'm getting quite concerned about. I just can't find one that fits. Maybe I need a bum bra to help me fit.
Well, we can talk about the bum bra in a second. I'm not sure what I think about weddings. Do you enjoy weddings?
I do enjoy weddings, and I'm looking forward to my sister's because it's going to be quite a low-key affair.
In what way?
Well, for starters, she's not having bridesmaids.
Oh, really?
So I haven't got that pressure,
which
is brilliant.
Yeah.
I know some people would be offended if their sister wasn't having a bridesmaid and they didn't get to be a bridesmaid, but
you're chilled.
Oh, I'm very chilled. But I have got a job on the day.
What's your job on the day?
I'm going to be the compere. Because anyone can get up and make a speech.
Yeah.
And I've got to talk in between them all.
Fantastic.
Link it together, yeah?
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
So I've got to make some little jokes and things.
Yeah.
Have you got it all planned?
No. I'm going to do it the night before. That's what I tend to do.
Yeah. I was a best man once and someone told me this great joke. Do you want a tip?
Yes.
Do you want a tip to get everyone to go...
Yeah, go on.
Okay. You could. I only did this when, obviously, I was the best man to a friend of mine, and I got all of the... I selected a certain amount of ladies in the room to do this, but you could do this. Well, you could still do it. Has he got a best man?
Yeah.
Okay, but you could do it for your sister. And what you could do, have you got lots of men going?
Yeah, yeah.
Like friends of your sister who are male?
Oh, yeah.
Relatives?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you've got some small boys there?
I'm not sure.
Okay, what you do small is you get them. No, what I mean by that is, you know, you've got some, maybe some, you know, some
young
nieces,
cousins
some nephews
and that sort of thing.
Or
yeah.
Some
yeah.
cousins or whatever. You see, what you do is you actually beforehand is you make sure they've all got sets of keys. Mm. And what you do is you get on the microphone and you say, if anyone's, what's your sister's name?
Roz.
I just like to say, it's a very big day and stuff, but if anyone still has the keys to Roz's heart, could they please return them now? And then you get all of these men traipsing out and putting keys in front. Everyone goes, ah, oh, because you get an old man who's 76 and you get someone who's 5. Do you get it?
Oh.
Yeah. See, I did that with Darren. I was his best man. And, you know, and we saw, like, we got some old lady who lived next door to him for years. She's like, I've got some keys. And she came out and put them on. And, you know, this little 3-year-old waddled up and put them down and stuff. And it's a nice thing
That's
to do.
Really
it's
really nice. Though.
You can have that one. It works.
The only trouble is she might listen to this before.
Well, it's not my fault, is it? She can act surprised. I mean, you know.
She can act surprised.
She can act surprised. She's got some acting experience, you know. Yeah. Finding out that her kind of like husband-to-be was overboard and a drug pusher. Mm. She can fake it. Anyway, wedding, that'll be good. That'll be all right.
It will be good, and it'll be the only time my sister gets married. I've only got one sibling, so it's be a special day.
Do you like weddings, too?
Do you know, I've hardly been to many weddings at all. The last wedding I remember being at, I was about 6 years old, had food poisoning, and had to be taken back early.
Wasn't your mum's cooking, was it?
No, it was actually in Israel. That's about the last wedding I think I remember going to. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
And I was very, very, very ill.
Oh.
I won't go into detail.
No,
but
don't.
I had to be taken back to the hotel by my aunt, who didn't seem that bothered about missing the party themselves.
You're a bit young for all your friends to be getting married, though, whereas a lot of mine are starting
to now. It's going to start big time.
It's all starting.
It is. You become quite... I find myself going... Because I've gone through that stage now. It's just kind of like, oh, well... You know, and you always start judging the weddings. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
You sort of like
this is what I'm worried about when I get married.
Is this the buffet? Is that it? Right, we're going to McDonald's on the way home. That's what you find yourself doing.
So, what was your wedding like then?
It was very low key.
Yeah.
It was low key, and we had a wedding reception, and this will play to your country stereotype, in an old cider house where they used to press apples and make cider on a farm.
People do different foods now, though.
And we had a jazz band playing.
Oh, awesome. Oh.
Yeah, we had, what was he called? He was called George someone and the Stompers. And it was great. It cost me £25 and a crate of red wine. And they proceeded to drink most of the red wine throughout most of the evening.
And what food did you have?
I bet their jazz got better the drunker they got.
They were great.
You always know a good jazz band gets better the drunker they are.
Yeah, and food, it was sausages and roast beef sandwiches.
People are now. I was just about to say they're doing finger food, aren't they?
It was so unconventional.
I went to a sort of party, I can't remember what it was, one of these family parties not that long ago, and it was they came out with literally these little sort of cones of...
Mini fish
of
and
newspaper
chips.
With mini fish and chips.
Brilliant.
That's
idea.
So in fashion, mini fish and chips. And mini bacon rolls is a big one.
I think it's great. I think it's
and
a lot
then
of
you
pressure.
Don't have the issue. Exactly. It's a lot
There's
of pressure.
There's so much
isn't
pressure.
It?
And I kind of, and people ratchet it up. You know, you phone up a hotel and you say, you've got a function room. And they go, yeah. Our rate is £150 for 3 hours or something. And they go, what's it for, can I ask? And you go, oh, it's for a wedding reception. It's like, ka-ching! Oh, actually, our wedding reception rate serves £500. Mm. That's what you find. Everyone's, here's the word wedding. And that's it. They stick a couple of noughts on the end of it. And I think, you know, and there's so much pressure. And you look at all the magazines that are out there, all the wedding magazines and stuff. You know, you must do this, you should have that. And I think increasingly, one, people are finding it hard to actually fork out for it all. And two, you know, some of the best weddings I've been to are unconventional. It's great.
Well, my sister is getting... They're getting married with... There's only like 10 of us going to the actual wedding.
Yeah.
And then the next day is the wedding party.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll already be married.
Best wedding I've been to...
We're going for a curry after the wedding.
That is good.
Brilliant.
See, I went to a civil partnership in Brighton about a year and a half ago. And it was great because these two guys, one was Robin and I forget who the other fella was, he was having, well, getting hitched to, for want of a better description, but he was a Scot, so he had his kilt. And afterwards, the reception was in this cocktail bar, and we all stood there drinking woo-woos and eating salt and vinegar crisps.
Sounds nice and
great.
Camp. That's what you want for a civil partnership.
Well, I hope the wedding goes well. That'll be good.
I'm sure it will.
I've lost
my bum. As long as I find a dress.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I mean, you're talking to the wrong people.
Exactly.
Toby,
I was just about to say, you'll be fine is not what she wants
you
to
two
hear,
wouldn't.
I agree.
As men, you probably wouldn't notice if I had a nice dress or a horrible dress on, would you?
It's a bit
it's just
harsh.
A dress.
Toby and I in the past in the office have commented upon your appearance. We noticed different things.
That was the wrong thing to say. I thought, I wanted you to say, no, it doesn't matter what dress you wear.
Well, it doesn't matter what you wear, does it?
Does this not hop back to the week when Laura wasn't here? When we were talking about how you can never be right with whatever answer you possibly give to a question.
Well, this is true, yeah. What was the right answer to that particular question?
No, you should have said...
Just men... help every man listening to bloke talk at the moment. What is the right answer?
You should have said, men wouldn't notice what you wear because you look lovely and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you do.
But then if you turn up looking as lovely as you always
do,
if you turn up,
what do you mean by that?
If you turn up looking as lovely as you always do, and we don't comment because you look as good as you always do, then you'll moan at us for that as well.
I want to talk about the bum bra.
What?
What's the matter?
Right, bum bras.
Okay, this is interesting. What? Look,
bum bras are the matter.
Curvy is the new thin. Do you like curvy bottoms?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
How much?
I'm not as curvy as yours.
What does that mean? Is my bottom curvy?
Possibly. You wear very baggy shirts, so I'm unable to tell.
Well, so
why are you looking?
Well, now I'm looking.
Feeling a bit violated all of a sudden.
You're sitting down.
This, right, apparently, and I didn't know this, men, and I don't know who they're speaking for here, but men apparently have gone, don't like the stick insect look, the kind of thin look, the bony look, and all of a sudden men are going for curvy bottoms. See, I like a curvy bottom. I can't
curvy
be
curvy bodies in general.
Yeah.
J-Lo, like J-Lo.
Well, I don't like her.
She's a bit...
She's got the most famous bum.
She's a bit too fit-looking for... Like, she's curvy but still very fit-looking, isn't she? I don't like all that sort of toned, however curvy you are.
Yeah, I think she looks... the problem with J-Lo is she looks too creative.
Yes.
Yeah? Does that make sense?
She's worked on it too much, hasn't she?
That's it. There's nothing natural about J-Lo. And because this new craze apparently is that men like curvy bottoms, and Toby and I are both men, last time we both looked,
Not at each other.
No, I wouldn't. I was in a gents the other day, and some bloke I was doing...
Don't you hate it when they do that?
I kind of... when someone's watching you?
Yeah.
You know.
And you can't go, can you?
And it was a motorway service station. It was just off the M6. Yeah. And I was kind of like... I was like... You know, standing there, and I was aware this man was just looking over.
Yeah.
And what's the etiquette for that?
Where do you look?
Well, what do you
point?
Do? You say something?
Yeah,
do you meet the eye contact? Do you turn?
Yeah.
Slightly like that. What do you do when someone's gazing
time,
at your old
the
chap?
Only time you talk to someone else when they're at the toilet next to you is if you know them.
Yeah.
And you're happy to have a chat about the football or the weather or whatever.
Yeah. Or it's half time. You're in the pub watching the match.
Yeah.
Because you've got to go through that bloke
but
routine.
You
don't
and look
good game so far.
Down.
Yeah.
You
it.
Don't look down. You, you specifically look eye contact and you hold it there almost more than you'd ever hold eye contact with anyone else.
Do you
ever.
Not get tempted to have a look, though?
No.
No, it's not.
Because
it's
apart
not,
from anything
the right
else, there's always the possibility that you're going
compare.
To be left feeling slightly inadequate.
Yeah.
So that's a good reason not to look.
Yeah.
Tip out there, never look, just in case.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the tip.
How do we get onto that? Oh, the bum bra. Anyway, men like big bottoms, apparently. This thing's been released. It makes your bottom look pert. Basically.
Does it actually make it bigger then?
Well, look what it does. I'm just
oh, it lifts it.
Yeah, it lifts it. You see, it lifts it, and the cheeks get pushed out. How do you describe that?
Right, it looks like, to me, it looks like one of those sort of... it looks like a big pair of granny pants, right?
With the back
cut
out.
That are quite tight, go around the bottom side of the bottom. That's what it looks like to me. That's the best.
They're like a bit of pair of granny pants with the back bit, the bottom bit cut away.
Yeah.
So the rest of the material, because it's quite
not in a sexy
way, a strong material, pushes out the remaining bit of cheek.
Yes.
Therefore, lifting and giving pertness, correct?
Yes, that's the best way of putting it.
Would you ever buy those?
No.
They're so unsexy, aren't they?
They are. You see, because you'd be thinking, that's one hell of a bottom.
Yeah, but you
and do... then you go, when you unwrap the dress, where did that come from?
Take
strip
off
down
the
to
trousers.
The bare essentials, yeah. And you'd be going, whoa!
What's that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, just to top it all off, then they come off and it's not even a pert bottom anymore.
Before we go, do you know what it's called? Do you know what product name it is? Oh. I mean, they nicknamed it the bum bra, but do you know what it's called?
Go on.
Think of a new movie that will be opening shortly featuring Daniel Craig.
James Bond.
What's he called?
00 Heaven.
007,
yeah, but
he's
that,
called.
It's not...
No, it's called the 00 Thong.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my God.
I see how they've come to that.
Right, I'm not here next week. So next week it'll be Bloke Talk with Willie, Laura.
Or as he
and
likes
Toby.
To call it, Man Chat.
Indeed. Yeah. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for downloading. It has been Bloke Talk at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.